Okay, we're in the middle of discussing Nanuim. I just wanted to finish very briefly our summary of Nanuim. I want to discuss three issues. One is, are Nanuim d'oraisa, or are they midrabanan? Are Nanuim d'oraisa or d'rabanan? So, it's very clear in two places in Shas, one of which is the top of the Daf Membeis of an Aleph, says, mida'ag vein nafik bei. Once you pick it up, you're yotzei, even if you don't do anything else. Mida'agbe, just hagba, you're yotzei. And that's why they say that if you pick it up and then you carry it outside, you can't say on Potter, on Shabbos, from Tov, Bar Mitzvah, for carrying, because you're already yotzei. Likewise, the Gemara in Pesach and Dav Zayin, twice in Shas, I think only twice. Pesach and Dav Membeis, mida'agbe, nafikbe. Likewise, Pesach and Dav Zayin, mida'agbe, nafikbe. Once you pick it up, you're yotzei, explaining why we say the bracha of al natilas lulav and not lito lulav. Okay, whole sugya there. It says aleph, you already did it. And apparently, it sounds like the pasuk shot is that you first pick up the lulav the normal way and then say the bracha, unlike what we do, although that's a big machlokas. Once you pick it up, you're yotzi. It seems very clear you're yotzi without nanuim. Very clear in the Gemara, you're yotzi without nanuim. If you're yotzi without nanuim, then if you yotzi not nanuim, but the Gemara says you do nanuim, right? The tefach shev nanea, the heichan hayu menanim. So if you need nanuim, but you yotzi without nanuim, the pashup shot is what's said very nicely by the iter that I put in the Makorah sheet. Iker hanetila umavarchan alav vananuim drabanan hu. Yeah, midoraisa you need lakachtem lachem. Lakicha is just lakicha. And midrabanan, you need midrabanan. They added nanduim. That would be the pashup shot. That it's only midrabanan, like the sefer iter. He says it very explicitly. But you know, I don't think he's a das yachid. He's just the one who addressed it very explicitly that it's midrabanan. Because if it was daraisa, then why would you be guilty without it?
Didn't sound like that from the Rambam.
So, the Rambam is not so posh. It says the Rambam, you're yotzi when you pick it up, but the proper way to do the mitzvah, but again, it's not clear if that's daraisa or darabanan, the lashon of the Rambam. I don't know if I can prove either way. Says the Rambam, we'll read the Rambam, see if I'm convinced. Says the Rambam, Mishi Yagbiya Arba Mim Elu, etc., yotza. Mitzvah kelchasa, but the proper way to do it is that you do the nanuim. So again, is that mitzvah kelchasa deraisa drabanan? It's hard to prove, although I hear your taina. But we have very clear here. We have the nanuim. According to the sefer ha'iter, they are midrabanan. However, the main reason why one would question this is because the Gemara says, the Mishnah in the beginning says, the lulav needs shlosha tefachim kedei l'nanea, which the Gemara says means three tefachim plus a fourth tefach kedei l'nanea. So it sounds like you're not yotzei if it's not four tefachim. So what does this mean? According to the Iter, it says, you're not yotzei the drabbanan of nanuim. You're yotzei midoraisa. However, the Kir Sefer says, that I put here, that's not a bit, right? The Kir Sefer, the Marbit Sefer on the Rambam, the main point of this Kiryat Sefer is to go through the entire Rambam and say what's the raisa and what's the rabbanan and what the makar is. That's the main function of the book Kiryat Sefer. He writes here very explicitly that Shiur Abraminim are Daraisa and including Shiur Halchal Mishri Sinai, that the tefach of the Shidra Shalulav, that's Yotzi from the Ha, that's the extra tefach, which the Gemara calls Kedelan Anea, the Havi Daraisa. It's Daraisa, as is proven in Perakam Apeles, because they have a mission of different things Daraisa, and his assumption is different things that are tefach. His assumption is that it's all Daraisa. So, says the Kira Sefer, it is Daraisa. If it's doraisa, then why are you yotzei without nanu? If that tefach is doraisa, kidein l'nanea, then l'chora nanu is doraisa. But if nanu is doraisa, then why are you yotzei without nanuim? So here the Chassam Sofer says, and the Meiri really said it before him, says the Chassam Sofer, he used a rule from Maseches Menachos that kolaroi l'bila bila ein bila ma'keves bo, because she'ena roi l'bila bila ma'keves bo. This is a rule about Menachos, but the Gemara uses it in a few places in Shas. About Kolator Kula, then we're using it in the context of a mikvah and bikurim and other things. The rule is that if you have a mincha up to 60 esronim, you could put in one big pot. 61 you can't. Why? Because 60 you can mix. It says balul b'shemen. Right? We had it. Did we have it? Did it say balul in this week's parsha? What did it say? Did he use the word balul in parsha shlach when it talked about the menachos? Okay. Think so. Good enough. Anyway, so it has up to 60 you can mix. 61 is already too big to mix. The Gemara says, but it's not that you need to mix it in order to be yotzei. Wrong book. It's not that you need to mix it in order to be yotzei. It's that it needs to be able to be mixed. Right? So if it's roi to mix, then even if you don't mix it, it's not ma'akev, you're yotzei. But if it's not roi lakach, then it's ma'akev. Point is, you need it to at least be roi for the ideal way of being the kind of the mitzvah in order to be yotzei. As long as it's roi for the ideal, you're yotzei even if you don't do it ideally. But if it's not roi for the ideal, you're not yotzei. So here's the other option. Says the Chasam Sofer. Now the difference is the Meiri didn't explicitly talk about d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, right? He just says you need roi lebila. It says the Chasam Sofer and the Kiryat Sefer, right? I mean, the Kiryat Sefer doesn't explain himself, but it says the Chasam Sofer. Well, let's just put the Chasam Sofer here. Is that you need midoraisa? You need ra'oi lenanea. Obviously, it's not ma'ake. The anu is not ma'ake doraisa, but the anu is doraisa. Midoraisa, it's, as Joel quoted from the Rambam, mitzvah kilchasa. Midoraisa, the right way to do is with nianuim. You're yotze without, but you need, meaning, let's say it a little better. I'm going to add to the Chasam Sofer here. Midoraisa, mitzvah kilchasa is nanua, and therefore, ba'inan ro'oi, Linianua liikuva, right? Nianua is not ma'akev, but roi lianua is ma'akev, because mida oraisa, the proper way to do it is nianua. Basically, every time I pick up a lulav, I'm implicitly doing the shevach of nianua, mida oraisa. If I don't explicitly do it, I'm still yotzei, because I did the basic mitzvah. But it has to at least be possible to do nianua, and therefore he says, what are the two nafkaminas? The two nafkaminas are that the nafkamina is that he says, a lulav she'ein bo dalet fachim is pasol mida oraisa. Because it's not roi ne'anua. Ah, you don't need to be on mida oraisa yet. Mida oraisa, you're yotzei that ne'anua. But the full mitzvah mida oraisa includes ne'anua. And therefore, you need at least roi lekach. And his other nafkamina was that this explains nicha de katan. Is potter. Why is a katan who doesn't know nianua, doesn't know how to shake the proper nanuim, potter? Because he's not roi lebila. If he's not roi lebila, then even if he did it, it wouldn't help. A katan who didn't know how to do nanuim, even if he picked up a lulav, wouldn't count as a mitzvah. So let's say the better naftamina.
I have to say that.
Yes.
You could say it in only the
Correct. Okay, fair enough. Let's just put the nafkaminas a little more clearly here. Nafkamina, what about a lulav? She'ein bo tefach revi. It has three tefachim, not a fourth. Say for it, it would say that it is pasul midrabanan. Or maybe even just pasul midrabanan from nanuim, right? Well, the Chasam Sofer would say it's pasul midoraisa, because if you can't do the nanuim, then that's ma'akev d'oraisa. You need at least potential. Another nafkamina. What about a katan? She'eino yodea le'nanea. So clearly he's potter. The Gemara says katan when he knows how to be ma'aneas chayev. Until then he's potter. But that could just be because in chinuch we wait until chinuch's not a matter of being yotzei or not. Chinuch's a matter of training him. So there's no point training. You're not going to train him until he knows how to do nanuim because you want to train him for what he's doing as an adult. You don't train a katan to be yotzei bidyevet. You train a katan to do the normal way, right? So you'd say, pater michinach, but, you might say, but maybe it is a real Netilas Lulav. If he would pick it up, he would really be doing Netilas Lulav. Right? Maybe, according to those who hold that a katan does a mitzvah is worth something, it would be worth something for him to pick up this lulav. You're just not trying to train him because there's no point training him if you're going to have to retrain him. Train him now to pick it up without nanduim, and then later with nanduim. You know, until bar mitzvah, we'll have time to train him with nanduim. So we don't have to waste our time training him to pick it up the daraisa away and then later the darabana away. But according to the Chassam Sofer, now you're right. Chassam Sofer is assuming Roy Labila as it did in the Maisa, not only in the Chafza. He says, nope. He says that even if he picked it up, it would be worthless, this katan. It's not that he's potter from chinuch, because we don't have to bother to teach him when he's not really so big yet. Right? That's what the Merumi Sada says. Why do we not milchanech him to at least do the daraisa of picking it up? Because, like, we don't have to bother to teach him to do a mitzvah in a weird way. Let's wait till he's a little older, and we'll teach him the normal way. But the Chassam Sofer says, you know why we don't bother to teach him to pick it up without shaking it? Because if he's too little to shake it, if he picked it up without shaking it, it would be worthless. Because it's not Roy Labila. Again, Joel was very correct. So this is two very different ways of looking at the idea of Nanuim. And the Meiri also mentioned the idea of Roy Labila. He doesn't explicitly mention it in the context of Doraisa versus Durabanan. And here the Kiryat Sefer also says, it's Midoraisa. Okay, so the Chassam Sofer, again, he wasn't the first one to think about Roy Labila, but he was the first one to use it to explain how Nanuim can fill the status Doraisa. So everyone agrees Midoraisa. You don't have to do Nanuim to be Yotze. The question is, according to the Sefer Itter, no, Midoraisa, you just pick it up. The Rabbanan added Nanuim. According to Chassam Sofer and the Kiryat Sefer, no, Midoraisa, you have to pick it up, and the proper way is to do Nanuim. But you're Yotze if you don't do Nanuim, because when you could have done it the right way, you're Yotze as long as you could have done it the right way. But if you can't do it the right way enough, Kamina, you're not even Yotze Midoraisa. Okay, very interesting Chiddush is found in Rev Yochanan Frischel Perlau, who had a big Chiddush. Three says Rav Yochanan Frischel Perlau, he says, look at the pasuk. Ulekachtem lochem bayom arishon, etc., etc. Lekicha means there's no room for nanuim. You just lekicha. Mida'ak ve'inofik ve'i. Usmachtem lufneim shem lokechem shivas yomim. You should do the sameach, the lulav shivas yomim. Remember at the very beginning of the parak we had this kakira. Is the mitzvah usmachtem shivas yomim just an extension of lekachtem yom arishon? Or is it a different mitzvah? Right? And the main nafkaminas we wanted to say were the machlokas between most Rishonim and seemingly the Rambam, whether all the same psulim apply, right? Do you need lochem, and do you need hadar, and do you need lekichatama, etc.? Right? So is it that there's one mitzvah, the same thing, one day in Gvulin and 7 days in Mikdash, or no? Two different inyanim. Same chefza, but two different kiyumim. There's lekicha v'yom Rishon, which is a separate type of mitzvah, and simcha, Shivas Yom L'Fnei Hashem, which is separate. It says with Ruch HaVishal Perlau, they're two separate things. But what's the difference? Lekicha is Mida'ag Bein Afik Bey. Simcha means Nanduim. Simcha means Nanduim. Why? Because Simcha is a matter of Azirananu Kalatzayar. Simcha means to praise. And praise, the way the Lulav praise, the way the Lulav sings out songs of praise to Hashem. Right? Remember Perek Shira? Anyone ever see Perek Shira? Sure. Talks about how every bird in the world makes a sound of praise to Hashem. How does the lulav praise Hashem? We know. When you shake it, it makes that rustling noise, and according to most Rishonim, except for the Ritzkias, and praises Hashem. So said the Rav Yerucham Frischel Perlau in his beer on Rav Sadigon, he says there's a difference. In Gevulin, there is only Lekicha, no Nanuim. In Mikdash, which is a mitzvah, this is ulekachtem. Lekachtem means pick it up. In Mikdash, it's a mitzvah of smachtem. What does smachtem mean? Smachtem means nanduim. So therefore, in Mikdash, you need nanduim liikuva. For Mikdash, it's ma'akev to do nanduim, because it's not considered simcha without nanduim. And what about nowadays? So therefore he says, And this is true. There's no nanuim, no mitzvah of nanuim. This is halacha lemaisa before Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. But once Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai came, what did he say? He says even gvulin to do zechel lemikdash, right? So takanas Rabbi Yochanan min zachrei takanas Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai mida oraisa. You need netila, and midrabanan. You need nanuim, zecher lemikdash, and therefore mida agbe nafek be midoraisa. And even before Yochanan and Zakkai, they didn't do. That's a bit kiddish. They didn't do nanuim before Yochanan and Zakkai. Before Yochanan and Zakkai, they just picked it up for one day. Now that Yochanan and Zakkai made us a kind of zecher lemikdash, there are really two parts of zecher lemikdash. Number one, do 7 days instead of one day. Number two, do nanuim and not just lakicha. So he would obviously say, if he had a lulav that didn't have the tefer for v, what would he say? He would say, yotza yedei mitzvah de oraisa, lo yotza yedei takanas Rabbi Yochanan min Zakkai. Right? If you don't do nanuim, he says, it's not the nanuim are an extension of the oraisa. It's that nanuim or the zekul mikdash are taking the simple of the mikdash and bringing it into the gvulin.
It could be Yotze Yom Tov Rishon, couldn't do nanuim. The Rabbanan can't come along and say zecher lemikdash when there's a mitzvah d'oraisa.
Maybe they can. We saw machlokas about that.
We saw the Rishonim hold that you couldn't be Yotze Cholamoy Zecher. You couldn't use the lulav on Yom Tov Rishon, maybe Yom Tov Sheni, maybe. But not on Yom Tov Rishon.
But the Chacham Tzvi says that you can b'shas
hakach,
right?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Unless the Chacham Tzvi says that's the Shulchan Aruch meant by Shas Adchak. Okay, Lemaisa, these are three opinions about Nanuim. Either they're Midrabanan, that's a Pashup Shah, Midag Be Nafik Be, and what about the fourth Tefach, that's only Midrabanan. Or no, Midaraisa, you need to have potential Nanuim. That's the Chacham Sofer. Or Midaraisa, it depends. If you're Mikdash and Medina, Midaraisa, you need Nanuim, Mikdash Nafik Medina, and after Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Midrabanan, you need Nanuim Be Medina. Second issue I want to discuss was, I wanted to point out, maybe you could say some other nafkaminas, and these are, maybe you could say nafkaminas, the fascinating machlokes that are shown in here, about suffik nanuim, l'chumer, or suffik nanuim l'kula. Right, Yerushalmi has imbayatul ifshita, hachin chad, v'hachin chad, or hachin chad, what that means, there are many more opinions than I put on the makor sheet, but there are at least a dozen opinions what that means. But everyone agrees the Yerushalmi has never poshet the suffix. Hachin chad v'hachin chad or hachin chad. Let's take, to use our minhagim, we would say, do you have to do shake, 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 or shake, 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 right? According to our minhag. So what do you do with that suffix of the Yerushalmi? Do you go l'kula or l'chumra? So the Rush quotes, right, from the Sefer HaEtar, and the Rivavon says the same thing. It's published in that Kinzei Rishonim book, that you go l'kula, suffik d'rabban and l'kula. It makes perfect sense for the Etar. What about...
Rabbi, even if it is d'oraita, that might not be Greek d'oraita.
It might not be... fair enough. Suffik, what about a suffik b'hilchas nanduim? So, if it's d'rabbanan, then maybe you'd say... But the Sefer Etter says l'kula, suffik rabban l'kula. However, the Rabbi Hananel says suffik l'chumra. And the Rambam seems to say suffik l'chumra. And the Rav Yah says suffik l'chumra. Question is, why were they machmir on suffik of nanuim? Why were they so machmir on suffik nanuim? So what does the Rush say?
Because it's Allah l'moshe m'sinai.
That's not what the Rush says. What does the Rush say? Why were they machmir? Here we have... the Rach, the Rav Yah, seemingly the Rambam, although obviously he doesn't explicitly say here's a suffik, but he sounds like he's l'chumra, as we'll see. Why are they so machmir? Says the Rosh, because of chibav mitzvah, extra love for the mitzvah. What did the Rosh mean by this? I assume what the Rosh means by this is that even though suffik drabban l'kula, when it has special beloved mitzvahs that are very special and only come once in a while, like lulav, we try to be extra machmir out of because of the specialness of this mitzvah. So it could be that it's drabbanan, So why are we machmer and suffer your bunning? It's the chiv of mitzvah. So why? So you could say chiv of mitzvah, meaning everyone agrees that numer drabanan. The itcher says suffer your bunning lekula, and Rav Yada Rabbeinu Chanan will say even though suffer your bunning lekula, we have extra love for this mitzvah, so we want to go the extra mile. But you could say, and I don't have a mucker for this. Maybe you could say hechmiru mishum shenanuim midoraisa. If you assume the new word doraisa, they're not ma'akev midoraisa, right? Midoraisa, the new word not ma'akev, but they're still a kiyum doraisa. Maybe once they are midoraisa, the proper way to do the mitzvah, right? That nuim mehavim kiyum midoraisa. It's not a chi of doraisa doing nanuim. You don't have to do nanuim. You're yotze not nanuim, but it's a better kiyum. If you want to fill the mitzvah properly, fully, you should do nanuim even doraisa. If you assume it's a kiyum doraisa, then maybe that's why we say suffering doraisa l'chumra. Okay, that's not the way the Rush explains the Rav Yon Rabbeinu Chananel, but actually you could say that's an afkamina. Another maybe an afkamina, although this is an even bigger stretch, is the whole question of over lasi yasan. What if you already picked up the lulav, but you haven't yet done the nanuim? Is that called over lasi yasan or not? So this is a big machlokas, meaning we obviously, do we think it's, you have to make a bracha over lasi yasan. So is it good enough to make a bracha before nanuim? What do we, what's our minhag? Is it good enough to make a bracha before nanuim? We make a bracha before you're holding it, because we make a bracha with the esrog upside down, right? So our minhag is to be machmir and assume that that doesn't count as over lasi yasan. Now, that the truth is 90% likely that this question depends on this sugya of over lasi yasan. How strict are the standards of over lasi yasan? Probably doesn't depend on our sugya, but after you could say that if nanuim is drabanan, then you could say that's not over lasi yasan. You're already yotzei. Right? So maybe you could say, Nicha Manda Omar de Bain Netila Lena Anuim Lo Nikra over Lasi Yasan. After all, if you're really Yotze totally derisive, you just did word Yotze the added Rabbanan Anuim, then it's hard to call that over Lasi Yasan. You already did your mitzvah. You just didn't do some added thing.
Well, if you didn't hear the bracha for the shofar, you can make the bracha of the shema kol shofar before the skios of the chazor of Hashan.
Who says?
Maybe here, even if you didn't say hallel, you could still.
Okay, maybe. Correct. You're right. I'm not going to get into it. Well, here you would say nifa mando amar de nikra over lasi yasan. Okay, Tosos and Pesachim assumes it is called over Lasi Yasan. Our minhag is that it's not called over Lasi Yasan. That's why you should say the bracha before you turn the esrog right side up, not before the nanuim. Tosos and Sukkah has a long discussion. First thinks it's not called over Lasi Yasan, and then says, even without nanuim, anytime you're still holding the lulav, it's called over Lasi Yasan, in which case he would just say, forget about the nanuim. Every second you hold the lulav is over lasi yasan, and this is not enough gemina. Okay, could be, again, these are maybes. I'm not really certain, because we're branching out a little, but maybe you could say that the machlokas between the itter and the rach is the itter l'shitase. The itter says, drabon and safi l'kula, maybe the rach and the raviyah hold like the sam sofer. That it's a kiyum d'oraisa, and that's why safi l'chumra, although maybe just chib of mitzvah. And maybe this would underline the machlokas over lasi yasan. Again, I think it's more likely they're just arguing, what does over lasi yasan mean? Before you do the mitzvah, or before you're finished with the mitzvah, and it's just an over lasi yasan machlokas, but we'll leave this for now. Okay, the last thing I want to discuss on the previous makor sheet is, when do you do these nanuim, right? When do you do these nanuim? The Mishnah only says one time you do nanuim, which is when? When does the Mishnah say to do nanuim? B'shas halal, right? And Tosos has a suffix. Do we also do nanuim when we say the bracha, or only b'shas halal? We all know our minhag is, I think, universal nowadays. I don't know what the tamanim do, but at least Ashkenazim and Sephardim are familiar with. We all say the do nanuim when we say the bracha. It sounds like in the days of Tosos they also did. He was just mesupik whether that was really based on something or not. Right, therefore he found some hints in Shas that maybe there's an inyan to do nanuim when you say the bracha. Right? What is why would you think the Gemara only says halo? Why would you think you should do nanuim even when you say the bracha? Says number one, it says a katan who knows how to do nanuim, you do mechanichim in lulav. Ora, a katan knows how to do nanuim, doesn't know how to say halo yet. So if he doesn't know how to say halal yet, why are you mechanic him in the love? Shows that you shake it even without halal. Okay, you could get out of it and say it means he knows how to say halal. Or at least he knows how to answer halal in shul when you listen to the chazan. Then the Gemara Bracho says
why
that...
Why would you mind
b'di-evet? What?
It's only like b'di-evet. I mean, b'di-evet you go to... I mean, if you can't do it during halal, you can do it...
Okay, halal. Or you could say that if you can't do it during halal, you do it not during halal. Fair enough. He also quotes the Gemara Bracha, someone who's early in the morning, shakes the halal and then davens later. So it doesn't say he says halal. Sorry, shakes the lulav. Shows he shakes the lulav without halal. Yeah, you could have said it's with halal. Unclear. Okay, the interestingly, Rav Sar Sholem Gaon, quoted in the Ritzkias and the Itter, etc., brings a riot from our sugya that this is Shivali Lekanez and the Itter have a long discussion of. He says, I can prove from our sugya that you shake not during halal. Why? Because Rav Achbar Yaakov said, Gira Be'ina Desata. During halal, he wouldn't have said this because it was a hefsek. So it must be he was shaking before halal because you're not allowed to be mafsek during halal. Then you have a long discussion. The itchin shvelodeke. Is this a hefsek during halal or not? Very fascinating. If I say this is a poke in the eye of the sultan, is that a hefsek during halal or is that relevant to halal? Because it has to do with saying halal and shaking the lulav.
Maybe he only said it during the last.
Okay. Maybe he said after the last word of the last hodu. Okay, fair. That's not what the itchin says. Anyway, Lamaisa, let's talk about when we do Nanuim. The Rambam, what does the Rambam say about Nanuim? I think he's very clear. Says the Rambam. Ready? Says the Rambam. Ketzad, how do you do Nanuim, etc.? Vehechan molechu maybe. When do you stick it out and draw it back? Vishas kriyas halel. Behodol Hashem kitot kilo sofa an Hashem oshiyana. Okay. When do you do Nanuim? During halel. He says nothing about doing Nanuim any other time. Pashup Shad of the Rambam is, he says, when do you do Nanuim during Halo? Sounds like there's only Nanuim during Halo. Likewise, the Sefer Itter and the Shibbele Leket say that, likewise, say the Sefer Itter and the Shibbele Leket, they say you only do Nanuim during Halo. The only difference is, Sefer Itter and Shibbele Leket said, if you can't say Halo, then do Nanuim without Halo. But normally you would only say Nanuim during Halal. So when do we do Nanuim? Shas Nanuim says the Rambam and the Sefer HaItter and the Shibbele HaLeket, in his own opinion, not that of his brother, says only Bishas Halal. At the very least, if you're saying Halal, you only shake it during Halal. Tosos is something about this, right? Tosos says, V'shas bracha lo matzinim chaylo nea b'tchilos netila. We're not sure, but then Tosos decides you do. Tosos and most Rishonim assume that you do it also v'shas bracha. Really? Tosos, yes?
In halacha tet, it seems to be mishtamea that during the bracha also.
Mishiyag bia arba minim elu yur yotzei. Mitzvah kilchasa. What's the mitzvah kilchasa? She yagbia agudah shal shlosha minim b'min v'esther gusbol v'yolich v'yavin v'yalav yor v'yanea lo shal shbam kol ruch v'ruch. The mitzvah kilchasa do nianuim. Ketzad, how do you do the nanuim? Right, he's not done yet. Molechu menanea rosh halulav mev menanea v'chim aliyu v'yirida v'heichan molechu. And when do you do this? I mean, he's not finished yet. The mitzvah kilchasa do nanuim, and when to do the nanuim? B'shas halal.
You can't separate between tet and yud?
I mean, you could if you really wanted to, but it's not the Pashup Shah. The Pashup Shah says, when do you do the Nanuim? Uh-huh. Okay. When? He didn't say, when else do you do the Nanuim? When do you do the Nanuim? So, you could be Dochak, but it's certainly not Pshah. Pshah is, he says, Mitzvah Chas do Nanuim. And when? B'shas Halal. If you're supposed to do it also not B'shas Halal, we should have told you. So you said, V'chein, you know what he could have said? Mitzvah Chas do Nanuim. And also do Nanuim B'shas Halal. Then I would have said, fine. So now he says, is when to do Nanuim. When b'shas halal sounds like not any other time, as opposed to many of the Rishonim here, like for example Tosos and the Ra'ah and the Ritva and the Ran and the Meiri here, all say some of these are on the Makoros sheet, and the Ravya also says, all say that gam b'shas bracha. obviously also b'shas halal, but also b'shas bracha. Now the question is if it's b'shas bracha and b'shas halal, so, you know, which of those is the ikar, which is not? Tosfos is not clear on this. The Rav assumes Tosfos is clear. But everyone but Tosfos all say, at the very least, everyone but Tosfos says, not just that you also do b'shas bracha. Shas bracha is ikar. The shas bracha is the ikar, nanuim. Shas bracha is the ikar and not the halal. So here we have an ar machlokas then. For Tosos is not so clear, I must admit. Tosos not so clear. But at the very least, you know, Rambam, the Itmish of Olelekit, versus the Ra'ah, the Ritva, the Ran, the Meiri, and the Ravyah, and maybe you put Tosos there also, the Rambam says you only shake up Shas Halal. You don't shake it all when you say the Bracha. Well, the other Rishonim say, no, really only shake it when you say the Bracha. That's the Iker. The Halal is an additional din. So if it's not ikr, why do we shake up Shas Halal if it's not ikr? Right? If it's not ikr, why do we do it? Right? Shas Bracha is ikr. All the Rishonim say. Who did I put on Makor sheet? I put the Meiri. I put the Ritva. I put the Ran. I put the Raviyah. Okay, I put almost all these Rishonim on the Makoros. They all said that Shas Bracha is ikr. So why do Shas Halal? So that's the big question, which is, why Bishas Halal? So for the Rambam, the Itmish Olelekit, you know why you shake up Shas Halal? That's mitzvah lulav. Says the Rambam, what's mitzvah kelchasa of lulav? Mida'ag be'nafek be. Mitzvah delchasa is to make an eged, to put three in your yamin and one in your small, to do na'nuim, and to do it for Shas Halal. That's all mitzvah kelchasa of lulav, right? So in this pasha, this is the mitzvah kelchasa of lulav, or just mitzvah lulav kelchasa. But For the other Rishonim, it doesn't seem to be this mitzvah lulav kelchasa. They say Shas Bracha is ikar. So, why shake it with Shas Halel? So, says the Meiri, a big chiddush.
They could say
because of Shas. Ah, okay. So, let's first stay with the Meiri. Says the Meiri says a wild chiddush. He says, there's no halacha to shake during Halel. It's only a minhag bi'alma. They're very much minimizing the role of Halel. It's only a minhag. But could someone tell me a raya in Shas for why the Meiri might have thought it was only a minhag? Anyone have a diuk? Why the Meiri might have thought it was a minhag? Says the Meiri, there's no din to shake during Halal. It's only a minhag to shake during Halal.
Maybe the lashon of the Mishnah.
Ah, the
lechan hayu minan.
Exactly, exactly. Very good. What does he say? Where's the let me just find his lashon. One second. Yeah, the now it's a little dachuk in one part of the Gemara. The Gemara says tefach de'aneya, and then they asked where. He says no, tefach de'aneya. They asked where, besides the obvious part. They would do it for extra simcha. They had Val Elo Shol Heichan, and that's they asked where. They don't even have to say that you do it in the bracha, then kalshi in the bracha, which is ikr. Okay, maybe he doesn't use the exact lashon minhag, maybe that's. But what does he say? They had a tradition. Sh'af b'shas halel. Sha'af b'shas halel, hayu minanim his ora simcha. Okay, there's a Kabbalah, they would do it also in halel for his ora simcha, even though the bracha is the ikar. Okay, maybe it doesn't say explicitly minhag. All right, maybe I'll take that. He doesn't say explicitly, it's only minhag. Maybe Kabbalah has to be yadim shahayu means that it's a din to do it. Okay.
So why does he say lehakem?
What?
The quotation that I have.
Here it is. He does say it later. Yeah, here's the line I was looking for in the next paragraph. He says, "Va'achshav nagu lehakem lisvachon noishim shas bracha." Now that we're making, we only shake it during the bracha. Kol shkinim komosha in a lulav aminim shabam tsuyim berevach. And for sure, a place where everyone can't find a lulav, so they just do it in the bracha because everyone doesn't have b'shas halal. Uvneishan noishim because halal ain't ela midhug. Now, no one halal is only a minhag. Says the Meir, it's only a minhag. It's a minhag to be happy. And again, where does he get minhag from? I think Yehuda's right. Heichan hayu menanim. doesn't say Masai Korin is a Kriyas Shema Arvin. When would they do it? Well, when would they do it? I mean, how they would do it. So says the Meiri, it is merely a minhag. It's a minhag. It's not a din. Really, you shake it when you make the bracha. Then they developed the minhag to do it during halo because they were so happy. Wonderful. Why did they hold the lulav at all during halo? Oh, because the mitzvah to hold the lulav for a while, right? Remember, Anshe Yerushalayim, lady in the parrot, maybe you saw, used to walk around all day with the lulav.
Okay. I don't know about people who don't have.
No, he says, and now they had the minhag to do it during halo. Nowadays, we don't have so many lulav, so we don't shake it during halo.
But if it's a mitzvah, you know, right? So if it's only...
But it's only a minhag, so if it's only a minhag, it's not our minhag. Therefore, says Miri Nafkamina, is that Bizman Hazeh Mekilin. Bizman Hazeh, we don't do it. Why? If it's only a minhag, so we don't do Bizman Hazeh. It's a little funny. Why don't we keep minhagim? But you know, minhagim sometimes change depending on the circumstances. Maybe the minhag was when everyone could afford a lulav. Nowadays, everyone doesn't have their own lulav. We don't have that minhag. That's the Meiri. Says the Rav Yah, a different shot. You know why we do it during Hallel? Says the Rav Yah. Remember what the Rav Yah said? Why do we do it during Hallel? Comparison to Shofar? Lenanea kochel shel kategor. Says the Rav Yah. Remember, he quoted a quote-unquote Yerushalmi that said it's to shake the power of the Satan. And the Rav Yah, that was what it said in Yerushalmi. I put on the board someplace, maybe around here. There's Yerushalmi and the Rav Yah said about Yerushalmi. What did the Rav Yah say about Yerushalmi? Says, no, the purpose of lulav is really, like it says, the Tlalim Raim and the Ruchas Rose and the Shamayim Va'aret Shalom, etc. The purpose of is not because of the Kategor. You know what the Yerushalmi meant? This is the Rav Yah's Taich in the Yerushalmi. He meant, why do we do it an extra time unnecessarily? If we already shook it when we said the bracha, why do we shake it again during Hallel? That's just to shake away the Kategor. So that's what he says. He says the extra time is Linanea Kocho Shel Kategor. He doesn't think that's the main mitzvah. The main mitzvah of lulav is something else. But we do it an extra time, Linanea Kocho Shel Kategor. And then he says, Shrenis Nafkamina. Since we're only doing an extra time to shake away the Kategor and not really for the Kiyom, what's his Nafkamina? He also has a big Nafkamina. Nafkamina is that he says you don't need a full Nanua. Right? The Rosh quotes the Rav Yah. During Hallel, you don't do a real Nanua. During Hallel, you just do a Nanua Kol Shehu. You just do some tiny shaking. You don't do the proper shaking with all the directions and all the whole fancy being Yotzei Zayin. You just shake it a little during Hallel. During the Bracha, you shake it properly. During Hallel, you just shake it a little. Here, I will read it to you from the Rav Yah as quoted in the Rosh. The Rosh quotes the Rav Yah, and he says, where's the Kodur of Yah? Oh, here it is. V'Rav Yah, V'od Kos Rav Yah, the Iker Nanua, Kmo Shei Yisbor Dino Nerva Enosh Yivshas HaBracha. The Iker Nanua, but the din is during the Bracha. V'al Nanua, the Masnisa, V'hod Vana Shem Hashiyano, Yinu V'Alma. Nanua is Nanua V'Alma, just any shaking. V'ha Nanua, it's not the din. It's Nanua V'Alma. And that's what it says, why do you do it for the Kategor?
You could have come to a different conclusion. It could be like the shofar. Since you already did the you already noted the main possibilities, so then, you know, since then you already noted the right about the shofar. So then you could do any kind
of... Right, and I say shake it up, and that's what he says in Merach Yaakov. He would be mamti molechu mevi, not during Hallel. During Hallel, he would just shake it a little. Molechu mevi is only in the bracha. Okay, the Rav said he didn't want to say it's only a minhag. He wants to say it's a din. The Meir says, a minute, we're so excited. No, the Rav thought it was a din. After all, even hechonim nanim. Yeah, it's in the Mishnah. It should be a din. And he didn't like this kocho shel kategor thing that the Rav Yah got from a very questionable Yerushalmi that is not a real Yerushalmi. Says the Rav here in the Rishima Shiurim, and he's saying this within Tosos, but I assume he would certainly say it within the other Rishim also. He says, no, it's very simple. It's a kiyum in mitzvahs halel of Aziran Nukolat Yar. He says, no, during the bracha, it's a kiyum of mitzvahs lulav, and during halel, it's a kiyum of halel. And mitzvahs lulav were done before halel. But you know what? A Hallel is a better Hallel if we have Azran Mitzvah Yar. He says Azran Mitzvah Yar is not teaching us the mitzvah Bishli Musa of Lulav involves Hallel. No, the mitzvah of Hallel involves Lulav, in which case, let's just think about this for a second, is what this really means is that over here, Nianuim Bishas Hallel is a kiyum of mitzvahs lulav, but according to the Rav here, it's a kiyum of mitzvahs hallel. Hallel is a better hallel when you shake arba minim. So, and Pesach and Shavuos, we don't have arba minim. So we don't do that, but hallel is a better hallel when you shake the arba minim. Says the Rav, therefore, if now you have a chakira, now you have a chakira. Well, the truth is, he's saying this in Tosos. In Tosfos, it's not clear. Tosfos never said Shas Bracha's Iker. You could say Tosfos closer to the Ramban. Maybe he thinks. Here is the Rav. Here is the Rav. According to the Rav, was sure that Tosfos was like Shas Bracha Iker and the rest of just didn't Hallel. You could say that no, Tosfos is not like the other Rishonim. He never says Bracha's Iker. Maybe he thinks you do it during the Bracha and Hallel, and they're both part of Mitzvah's Lulav. Right? You could have said they're both part of Mitzvah's Lulav, to shake it by itself and to shake it during Hallel. But why did the Rav not like this? I guess the Rav didn't like this because it doesn't make sense that in Mitzvah's Lulav you should have to shake it twice. Either Mitzvah's Lulav shaking during Hallel, or Mitzvah's Lulav shaking in the Bracha. Why in Mitzvah's Lulav should you have to shake during Bracha and Hallel? So you know what? I'm going to race. The Rav was right. Right? Says the Rav was right. The Rav assumed that for Tosos also Shas Bracha was Iker. Tosos never said Shas Bracha is Iker. He just said, I don't even know if you have to shake it when you say the Bracha. And then decided you do. But the truth is, once you have to shake it when you say the Bracha, Mestama, that's Iker. Because if the Hallel was Iker, why would you shake it twice? So, Pashtus, Tosos is, the Rav's correct. So now, the Rav said there's some Nafkaminas. What are the Nafkaminas? According to the Rav, the Rav then had two nafkaminas. Remember, according to the Rambam's perspective, there's only an anuim during Hallel. Why? Because you don't do a mitzvah pilchasa of lulav without Hallel. If you shake a lulav without Hallel, you're not doing a full mitzvah lulav pilchasa. According to L'chor Tosos, and for sure the other Rishonim, no, the Iker mitzvah lulav is to shake it when you say the bracha. Hallel is a separate zach. What's the nature of that separate thing? Maybe it's a minhag to be excited, meiri. Maybe it's to show the kategor that we love extra mitzvos and we just love lulav and esrog. Or maybe, like the Rav says, no, it's a kiyum in halal as opposed to a kiyum in lulav. What's a nafkamina? So the Rav gave two famous nafkaminas, one of which is a very, very famous brisker practice. Nafkamina number one is lochem. That's not the most famous one. Do you need to own the lulav you use during Hallel? Fascinating question, right? Do you need to own the lulav you use during Hallel, or can you use someone else's lulav? So, lachem b'shas Hallel. If you say it's a kiyum of lulav, if it's a kiyum of lulav, it needs to be your lulav, l'kachdom lachem. Again, it's not ma'akev, but if you want the full kiyum, you need to use your lulav during Hallel. But if it's just a kiyum of Hallel, it's Yeranu Kalatzayar, so it's just as much Yeranu Kalatzayar. If it's someone else's lulav, it's my lulav. I can borrow a lulav for Hallel. There's no need to have my own lulav on the first day. Mishas Hallel.
Why do people do that?
Yeah. So, unless you say they meant Matan was Lahasir. Okay, so that's one Nafkamina. His more famous Nafkamina is, which is a big question nowadays, is how about Seiruf Bein Bracha LeHallel? Does the Bracha need to be near Hallel or not? According to the Rav, this is the Rav's famous brisker chumrah, which is not his, it was his father's chumrah, and nowadays it's a very popular yeshivish practice, because the briskers influence everyone by this one. You shouldn't say the bracha at home in the morning and then say hallel later in shul. Because since you haven't done a full mitzvah lulav till hallel, it's better to say the bracha when you're doing the whole mitzvah of lulav. So therefore he says that lechatchila Yismoch Birkas Lulav LeHallel. Why? Because you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah Bishli Musa till you say Hallel. So it's better to say the bracha and then fulfill the mitzvah Bishli Musa. Okay, this is part of the general. This is based on two brisker assumptions, just to be fair. It's based on the Rambam here, which says you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Lulav totally till you say Hallel, right? It's not mitzvah Kilchasa till you say Hallel. It's also based on the famous Brisker Rav, in Hilchos Chanukah, about the sheet of the Rambam about Chanukah and Bris Milah, who says that if you fulfill a mitzvah once and then you fulfill it better later, it's too late. You have to fulfill it the right way. You have to fulfill it fully right away. You can't fulfill a mitzvah and be mahadur later. You have to be mahadur when you first fulfill the mitzvah. That's why the briskers say you can't say Kriya Shema now and then say you have the brachos later. Because even if they're both in the Zman, because you have to be mahadur the first time you say it. And that's why the briskers, famous brisker shita, that you can't like pick up an esrog now and then later pick up more of a hudr esrog. It doesn't help. You have to be mahadur right away. So likewise here, when you say the bracha and first pick up the lulav, you have to say the halal right away. You get the full kiyum with all the hinder. Originally, Bishas Bracha. Not to make the Bracha at home at 7 o'clock, and then an hour and a half later in Shul try to add the Hallel. No, no. You have to say the Bracha, do the Mitzvah, and do it fully right away.
Do you do the Nanuim in the Bracha immediately before Hallel? Are you Tzomech on the Nanuim inside the
No, house? They say still do the Nanuim by themselves, but Yotze, the other Rishonim. The Briskers aren't sure the Rambam's right. They just want to be Machmer for him. Of course, according to this Pshat, that Nanuim during Hallel is a separate din of a minute of excitement. So, be yotzei the mitzvah at 7 o'clock and be excited at 8 o'clock. Or, talk Americans, be yotzei the mitzvah at 8:30 and be excited at 10:30. Or be yotzei the mitzvah at 8:30 and be menaneh the satan at 10:30 or go to the rub. Be yotzei lulav at 8:30 and be yotzei halal bishleimus hakilchasa at 10:30. So then, it is perfectly okay to say the bracha at home and shake at home, to say the bracha at home and then go to shul. And of course, right, it's say the bracha at home and then go to shul. So if you hold that wave, that shaking during Hallel is a separate kiyum, say the bracha, shake it at home, and then 2 hours later, an hour later, you'll shake it during Hallel for a separate kiyum. If you'll, it's not a full mitzvah lulav till you shake during Hallel, then perhaps lechachila, it would be proper to say the bracha and then do the mitzvah of lulav b'shlei musa, all in one setting. Not to like split up the mitzvah of lulav and do part of it at home and then be mashlim it later. Of course, why would some people dafka not want to do the brisker chomer here? Because the minhag ha'ari is to do it in the sukkah, right? So the minhag ha'ari is to do it in the sukkah, so there you get very stuck. Those of us who were brought up by fathers who had a few Hasidish minhagim left, not just Hasidish, even Mesnagim had this minhag, right? So if your father always taught you, say the bracha and the lulav in the sukkah before you go to shul. And then the Rav taught you, no, say the bracha right before you say Hallel, then you're stuck. The super machmirim nowadays, and I've seen this in many shuls, both the kutzlers and here, if they go to the shul sukkah and then their yilt say they have their cake and eat it too, okay, what to do? We'll leave. Yeah, except that it's a mitzvah shleim musa to daven in the Beis Knesset.
All you have to do is mevater on the grief, and hold you can be in time to hear
the correct. Reality. Correct. That is, you're absolutely right. That's why I pointed that out. Okay, so this is a very, very famous chakir of the Rav about the connection between Hallel and Lulav, and also this ties into something we discussed earlier, right? Meaning, is Lulav fundamentally a mitzvah of Hallel, right? The Lomeshvi Halukah, etc. For the Rambam, the Itchin Shri Lelechet, yeah. Lulav's fundamentally a mitzvah of Hallel. It's not Bishlei Musa unless you shake it and say Hallel while you're shaking it. According to the Tosos, etc., could be that Lulav's not really a mitzvah of Hallel. We shake it during Hallel for a different reason, but the mitzvah of Lulav is just to shake a Lulav. Okay, the last thing I want to discuss, which is the most complicated, is, and here I'm not going to get into it fully because it's really aim the double sof. There's so many different opinions about exactly how to do nanuim. I don't mean the lumdus of what kiyum of nanuim is. I mean like physically what you're supposed to do when you do your nanuim. That it really, there's in terms of the sub formulation, etc. You could probably get 20 shitas in the end. We'll just stick with some mainstream shitas, maybe we'll even stick with the Ran, who did a very, very nice job of summarizing them. But I just want to ask two questions about, the Nanuim, what it says in our Gemara. First, it says in our Gemara, Molech u'mevi, Male u'morid. How many directions is Molech u'mevi, Male u'morid? Right? How many directions do you go to when you're molech umevi malo morid? So malo morid is clearly up and down. What does molech umevi mean? I just told you the words molech umevi, what would you say that means? How many actions? Out and in, right? Out and in, up and down. The problem, why would anyone think otherwise?
You can't go out in without coming back.
No, no, but say there. So, molech umevi malo umorid. Why would anyone do that? Only this? Yeah. Why would anyone think something else? What do we all do? We do. Right? Why? Because the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, Dalad Rucho Shalom. On the one hand, just textually, on the one hand, Malo Omorid is only once. On the other hand, Arba Ruchos is Arba Ruchos. Right? So you're stuck. Either you say, Arba Ruchos means Arba Ruchos, and Molochumevi meant Molochumevi in all the directions. They just didn't, it was obvious. They didn't have to say. They figured they would understand that Molochumevi means Molochumevi in every possible way you could be Molochumevi, which are the four directions. Okay, that is the Shita of the Rush, right? Says the Rush. Just read it very briefly. Says, what do you do when you're menanea? Nimtish zerk gimel alach gimel vos the chol tzad v'tzad shim shloshim v'shisha bein hakol. You have to go three times out and three times in every direction, meaning six actions in every direction, and all six directions making 36, meaning all four directions. And if all four directions, then Mela, Malo, Mora, it doesn't just mean like this. It means like this and like this. If you're going in all four, you might as well go to the bottom also, right? So this is the Shita of the Rush. And the, what does it mean? Molech Umevi. So one Shita is all four directions. That is the Shita of the Rush. The Shita of the Tosos Ben Peretz, which I did not put on the Makoros, but you can look it up. Although, then he has some lines I don't fully understand, but it's clear that he thinks you go in all four directions like we do. And the Shita of the Shibali Aleket. The Shibali Aleket, not the little piece of Shibali Aleket that I Xeroxed here. It's the, in brackets, I said, look at the whole Shibali Aleket. It's really a very fascinating, it's a very fascinating Shibali Aleket. But Shibali Aleket says very, very clearly, he says that Rabbeinu Shlomo Zal Mefaresh, Rashi says, I'm not sure he saw this in Rashi. Molech Umevi L'Isha Arba Ruchos Alo, Kach Meir Renafos, Masha Tzorch L'Holech L'Havi L'Arba Ruchos. He asked me, Molech Umevi L'Arba Ruchos. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, Kein Mare B'Hanafoso. Right? That's Rashi L'Asha. You show and you're waving that you're doing it for the sake of Hashem, who is the master of the four directions. Okay, does that mean you wave in the four directions? That's what he understood. And that's obviously our minhag, right? However, the Sefer HaItter, first of all, and following the Sefer HaItter, the Beit Midrash of the Ramban and the Meiri, right? No. Just one molech umevi. This is the Iter, the Ra'ah, the Ritva, and the Ran, and the Ramban, right? So they got it from the Rebbe, the Ramban, the Meiri, and I think that's the Pashup shot of the Rambam. What did the Rambam say? Well, let me read you the Rambam. You ready? V'yolech v'yavi v'yala v'yorid. He doesn't say yolech v'yavi four directions. It's yolech v'yavi v'yala v'yorid. Ketzad, molech u'menanea, u'mevi u'menanea, v'chein v'aliyah v'yirida. Molech Menanea, and he doesn't say, I think the Pashas of the Rambam, right, is only one direction. Why are we so machmir? Because it can't hurt to be machmir, right? Then we're guilty of everything. How does it show that Hashem has the Dalad Ruchos if we only move it in one direction? After all, if we only move it in one direction, how does it show Hashem? Did he say anything about being Molech Umevi to multiple directions? See, every ruach. That's the Ram does say every ruach. Ooh, interesting. Okay, Ketzad, I skipped, right? V'yaneh halulav shalosh pamim b'chol ruach v'ruach. Every direction you do niyanua. So Yehuda wants to say again, that shows that you have to go in every possible direction. And I'm going to say the same thing I said last time, which is Ketzad. The Rambam's not done here. You can't read Halacha test that Halacha. Ketzad, how do you do it? The Rambam says, Ketzad, what do I mean? Molech naneh rosh aluluf shalosh pa'amim. You're molech and shake it three times. Umeid naneh rosh aluluf shalosh pa'amim. You're maybe and shake it three times. Chem ba'aliyah, chem b'irida. Sounds like, what does it mean called ruach v'ruach? Molech, maybe. It doesn't mean every direction. It means molech, maybe. Now, you could read it two ways. You could read it like I'm reading it. In every direction. How? The direction of molech, the direction of maybe, the direction of aliyah, and the direction of y'irida. Maybe you could also read it the way Yehuda's reading it, which is our minhag. No, every direction. How? You're molech, as I said, in every direction, and you're maybe from every direction. Okay, so the Rambam, we could say, is not so clear. I happen to think that if he says every direction and then says ketzad, then he means what's every direction? Ketzad, what I'm about to say, the four directions of molech, maybe, malo, morid. But I can't promise you, because you could say once he said every direction, he means every direction. So the Rambam, we can't know for sure, right? How does the Iter explain, how does this show Hashem is the master of the four corners of the world if we only move it in one direction? What's his phrase that the Rishonim quote from the Iter? I actually brought the Iter. Says the Sefer HaIter that V'hamoshel b'shtayim u'moshel b'dalid. You know what? Whoever rules two directions rules four. What is two? Molech u'mevi. Molech u'mevi is two ways, right? You know what? If he rules from here to there, if Hashem is here, Hashem is there, then Me'il Hashem's everywhere. Meaning, if a philosopher were to say Hashem's not in the whole world, Tenach, is there a philosopher who believes he's only in the east and not in the west and the south and the north? Like, there's no philosophical logic to that. Now, the truth is, I don't know, maybe the ancient Near East there would have been, but the Iter didn't live. We don't live in the ancient Near East. You know, Mistama, if we say Hashem's only in Shul, he's only in Shul. Once Hashem's here and there, then maybe he's everywhere. Why should he be in this direction, not that direction? We all know I could have pointed in any direction. So that the Iter says, Hamoshavet Beis, Hamoshavet. If he has two places, then he has every place. And he even goes so far as to say, those who go to all four directions, Das Chitzoni, is a problematic, a sectarian opinion. Not sure why he was so upset about it. Like, is it the end of the world? But apparently he thinks it's the end of the world. Okay, this is a famous machlokas. Obviously, we are machmir here, like the Shibali Aleket and the Rush. And the Shibali Aleket thinks that's what Rashi means. Because Rashi says, Kein mara b'hanafasu, you're showing your tenufa. By showing, he means you don't just give an example. You have to show it fully. It's a diuk. I'm not convinced. But obviously, our minhag is to be machmir and to shake it in all four directions. The bigger question is, what is the relationship between two phrases in our Gemara? What are the two phrases in our Gemara? One phrase is Nianua, right? Shlosha Tvachim Kidei L'Naneya, Heichan Hayu Menanim. It talks about Nianua. And what does our Gemara say? What does Rabba say? V'chein Belulav. What is V'chein Belulav? V'chein Wat Belulav. Molech Umevi Ma'alo Omarid. And whatever molech umevi means, right? Yeah. Whether this means six directions or it means two directions, whatever it means. So, the question is, what's the relationship between the two of them? Now, I know what I would have thought. Actually, maybe I'm wrong. What would you have thought based only on our Gemara? Based only on our Gemara, what would you have thought?
As you're moving it, then you do the nanua.
Okay. That's not what I would have thought.
Oh, okay.
You know what I would have thought? Amar Rav v'chein belulav. I would have thought like the Ritz Gias.
Really?
And because all the Rishonim would have thought like the Ritz Gias until they bring up one question. Okay. What does the Ritz Gias say? Hainuach. Nianua means molech umevi malo morid. What does lenaanea mean? To move something, right?
Yeah.
To move something. How do you move something? How are you menanea? How do you move it? The answer is, you know how to move it? You move it by molech umevi malo umorid. That's the Ritz Gias, right? I actually brought the Ritz Gias here also. Says the Ritz Gias. Nianua, what is Nianua? Is molech umevi malo umorid.
There's no shaking. Yeah.
There's no shaking. Who ever heard of shaking? Nianua is molech umevi malo umorid. That's it. That's what Nianua is. Right? And the Ran quotes that I put on the Makor sheet and everyone else. That's the Shita of the Ritz Gias. and who agrees with the Ritzkias, the Eter, right? The Ritzkias is one of the very early Rishonim, the Helchas Ritzkias. It's a little funny. On the shelf in Arvei Spanish, you want to find the Helchas Ritzkias, you have to, or Ritzkias, as they say in the Yeshivish belt, you have to look for a book that's called Shari Simcha. He never called it Shari Simcha. I think the fellow who published it, you know, in the time, you know, the fellow who published it 200 years ago called Simcha, so he called it Shari Simcha. He just called it the Ritz, we're not sure what he called it. Mustami just called it Halachos. What did the Rif call his book? Halachos. What did the Rush call his book? Halachos. There was such a book as Halachos in the old days. What did Halachos Gedolos call his book? He called it Halachos. We nicknamed it Gedolos. And a halachos book means you go through Shas and you collect only the halachic parts and then you expand when you need to expand. Right? So the Ritzgias and the Iter, one approach is the Ritzgias and the Sefer HaIter and the Shibole HaLeket, also in Greece, and the Me'iri. He says that's not the Minhag, but that's what he thinks theoretically. Right? This is what the Me'iri thinks theoretically. He knows that's not the minhag, but this is what he thinks the real pshat is. Nianua means molech umevi vechuli. It's not a separate thing. Nianua, and it's not shaking. You're not shaking. Moving. You're moving. Yeah. Right?
The Korah would be good.
What? Exactly. Precisely. Now, what's the reason why most Rishonim reject them? The reason why most Rishonim reject them is they say you need an extra tefach kedei l'nanea.
Right.
Why do you need the lulav to go up a tefach kedei l'nanea? Why can't you nanea if it doesn't go up a tefach? Ah, because it's stuck between all the hadassim and aravos and it doesn't have room to rustle. It needs to go up a tefach to rustle.
I like that word.
Right? And if I go like this, it doesn't rustle. To rustle, I have to shake. So that's why most of them reject the Ritzkias. What does the Me'iri defend himself? The Me'iri defends the Ritzkias, or himself. He never quotes names. He says, no, tefach l'nanea doesn't mean I need to rustle the leaves. It means that the ikar is the lulav, and it needs to be nicker that the lulav is there. So the lulav needs to stick out on top, so we'll see the lulav moving. But it doesn't mean rustling the leaves. It means, and this is, of course, the famous machlokas nowadays, you know, Ashkenazim and Sfardim. Sfardim like the Korah, right? They like if it's covered by the brown stuff. Sfardim hold, you don't like the Ritzkiyas. They don't do that. They don't hold the Nenuim like the Ritzkiyas. But they hold like the Ritzkiyas, so you don't have to rustle the leaves. Ashkenazim hold, you have to rustle the leaves, right? If you're an Ashkenazi, and let's say you get a very closed lulav, you have to break open some of the, don't break open the top, you might break the tiyomis. What? I'm not sure. But if you're an Ashkenazi brisker, just some of the side leaves open, and then you'll have rustling, as long as it's above the hadassim. Anyway, so this is, most Rishonim reject them and say, rustling needs to be separate. And Rav Haigon, here it's funny, the Rach quotes Rav Haigon, I think, and he says, besides Molech HaMevi, there's Nanua. And the Riffle says, Yesh Omrim, he seems to endorse, besides Molech HaMevi, there's Nanua. What they meant, they have very clear Lashonos, and no one knows exactly what they meant. Everyone says they meant whatever they want. But clearly, the Rav Haigon and the Rach and the Rif say no. They are two actions. It's not two words the same action. They are two different actions. The question, if they are two different actions, what is the relationship between these two actions?
Well, so, they have to make noise. Maybe you could just mean that the air doesn't make noise. You shake it, it doesn't make noise.
No, but then why does the lulav need to stick out a tefach? You're going backwards. Just because you need this separate nianua doesn't mean it has to make noise. But they're going the other way. We can prove it needs to make noise because it needs to stick up. Then it must be right. So, what does the Rambam and the Rosh say? If they're two separate things, what's the relationship between these two separate things? You do them at the same time or different times?
Right.
So here, there are two very different formulations. The Rambam and the Rosh say, what's the relationship between the Molech HaMevi and the Nianua? They're two separate things. There's sticking in directions, and there's rustling, shaking. What's the relationship between them?
Did you do it afterwards? At some point, you go back and forth and then shake it a little bit, right? Isn't that what it meant?
That, when you do the Malo, yes, but I would say it a little differently. Here's two, is it that I do them together, molech, maybe, molech, maybe. It doesn't have to be the same exact touch. molich, mevi, male, morid, or no? First I do all the sticking out, and then I do shaking.
Right.
So which way does the Rambam and the Rush hold? What's our minhag? Our minhag is that clearly there are two different things. We shake, right? That we shake as we do the molich mevi, or we first do all the molich mevis and then do all the shakings.
At the same time.
As we do it, right? Now some of the Rishonim are a little more specific. As we do it, like as I'm sticking out, I shake, or like I stick out and then shake, and draw in and then shake. Right? So, clearly, says the Rambam of the Rosh, what they've in common is that, no, that, what's the Lashon of the Rambam? Molech u'minaneya, mevi u'minaneya. Molech u'minaneya, mevi u'minaneya, mala u'minaneya, morid u'minaneya. After each sticking out, I do that part of the Nianuim. Right? So what do they say? Molech u'minaneya, mevi u'minaneya, vichuli. Right? They're two different actions, but they're integrated, right? They're two integrated actions. I do the nanuim with the molech u'mevi, right? So they are two integrated actions. Not one action, but two integrated actions. What's the difference between the Rambam and the Rush? I think there's a big difference between the Rambam and the Rush. Anyone notice the difference between the Rambam and the Rush? And which one is what we do? Well, how many times do you have to do Nianuim? Three Nianuim. Okay, how do you do the three Nianuim of Molech Umevi? How do you do the three Nianuim of Molech Umevi? Do you do Molech, three shakes, maybe three shakes? Molech shake, maybe shake, Molech shake, maybe shake, Molech shake, maybe shake. What do we do?
While we're
doing it, we do the same thing. We do three Molechs, right?
The Rambam
never said three molechs. What did the Rambam say? Molech, umenanei rosh aluv sholosh pa'amim. Umevi, umenanei rosh aluv sholosh pa'amim. And I think it's clear. Now, don't start telling me, no, what he means is, you're molech umenanei three times?
No.
With three molechs and maybe umenanei three times. No, because you can't be molech three times and then maybe three times. Then he would say, molech umenanei, maybe umenanei sholosh pa'amim. He says, molech with three shakes, maybe with three shakes. Clearly means a molech, and then I do three shakes. Maybe three shakes. Not what we do. The Rush says what we do. Molech, shake, maybe shake. Molech, shake, maybe shake. Molech, shake, maybe shake. So the difference between them is that the Rambam says one holacha per three nanuim, and the Rush says, nope. One holacha per nanua. But what they both have in common is that you're integrating the nanuim and the holachos. Who holds that? No, I do separate stages. I do the holacha and hava and separately, and I do the nanuim separately. Who holds that? Who is on our page? The Ramban and the Ritva. And Shibul Eleket quoting Rashi. This Masorah Rashi is found even in the Sefer Pardes, written by a student of Rashi. Sefer Pardes is not on the Bar Ilan. And a few very early Rishonim from the time of Rashi. But we have it in the Shibul Eleket, the Shem Rashi. He says Rabbeinu Shlomo, but it's clear he means Rashi from, you look at anyone else who quotes it from Rashi. What do they say? They say, nope, two separate stages. They say you do two separate stages. You separately go in the directions, and you separately shake it and rustle it. Two separate stages. It's actually interesting. Which do you first, which do you second is not so clear. The Ramban assumes that first you shake it, and then you wave it in different directions. The Ritva assumes first you wave it in different directions, and then you shake it. The Magid Mishnah says, and the Ran also assumes first wave in directions, then shake it. The Magid Mishnah says, you do it either one before the other, either way. So it's not clear which order, but you have two different stages. One stage is molech umevi vechule, and the second stage is minaneya gimel pa'amim. Okay, gimel pa'amim comes to Yusham. We know the Bible is going to say three pa'amim. Two separate stages of menanea gimel pa'amim. Okay, so there's a million variations. But these are the three basic approaches. Either Ne'anua means waving in directions and there's no other shaking. Or you wave and shake as you wave in each direction. Or you wave separately in directions and you shake separately as two separate things. And again, the Ramban says, first menanea, then molech umevi. The Rish Ramban says, first molech umevi, then menanea. The Magen Mishnah says, when he quotes this there, you're molech umevi and before or afterwards, like either direction, either order. Now, let's just look at the Rishalmi. The Rishalmi says two things. First, the Rishalmi says, you need menanea gimel pa'amel kol davar v'davar. Okay? What does the Rishalmi mean when it says gimel na'anuim al kol davar? What does it mean, three nanuim on each? I'll call dover. What's a dover? According to the Ritzgias, now the Ritzgias is the only one who doesn't quote the Yerushalmi. He doesn't deal with Yerushalmi, but everyone else deals explicitly with Yerushalmi. What is a dover? What's Pshat in the Yerushalmi? What's this dover that we're doing? According to the Ritzgias, what's a dover that we do three nanuim for? What's a dover that we do three nanuim for? No, that's the next line in Rishalmi. According to the Ritzgias, a dover equals a pasuk. He doesn't use a pasuk. It means on every pasuk we do three ne'anuim. What are the three ne'anuim on every pasuk? Molech, mevi, and maaleh, perhaps, right? Let's say at least that's one possibility, right? Every dover is a pasuk. Molech, mevi, umaleh. And here I'm going to give not the Ritzgias himself a little different. I'll just give the way the most Rishonim read him, every pasuk, and we do three ni'anuim equals three directions. We do three directions on each pasuk. Remember, there's no shaking, just directions, just waving. Then, what's the next step to the Rishalmi? They have an ibaya. Ibaya. Hachin chad. The hachin chad. O Dilma, hachin v'hachin chad. What is that ibaya? Now, the truth is, the Ritzgias has a very different idea of this ibaya, and Shibbol Elekin has many different ideas of this ibaya. But the way the Sefer Itter and most Rishonim say, right, this is the Sefer Itter's version of the ibaya of the Rishalmi, if I recall correctly, says the Sefer HaItter. His question is, does molech umevi count as one or two? Meaning, do you say molech mevi male is three, and mor is not chashev? Because mor is not really a direction, according to him. It's not, there's no down, it's just you. Or do you say no, you need molech umevi malo morid. So that's the two, the meaning the question is, how do you get the three? Again, this is the Sefer Itter's version. There's at least three, four other versions. Do you need molech, mevi, ma'ale, and that's the three? Or molech, umevi, molech, umevi, ma'ale, umorid? Do you need three directions or three pairs? Okay. But nothing to do with shaking. According to the Rambam and the Rosh, of course, what does dover mean? Does dover mean pasuk? Three nanum for each pasuk?
Direction.
No, for direction. Dover equals, you need three nanuim, three shakes for each direction. Ah, so then, what's the suffix? The suffix is, does only molech and does only, let's stick with molech, does only molech need shakes or let's say better. What's the suffix? Does molech umevi need three shakes? Or molech needs three and mevi needs three. Right, that's the suffix. Hachin v'hachin chad. What's a dover? What's chad dover? Right? It's interesting. Here it's a question. What's chad nianua? Here it's a question of, no, what's chad davar? Right? Is molech maybe one davar needs three shakes? Or, no, molech is a davar needs three shakes, and maybe is a davar needs three shakes. I think our minhag is to be machmer in that and do three shakes for molech and three shakes for maybe. I think that's our minhag. Total of 36 shakes each pasuk, right? Yeah. Molech, each direction gets six shakes. Which is what the Rush says, 36 shakes each pasuk. How about according to the Ramban and the Ritva, then what's the suffix? So what's a davar? For the Ramban and the Ritva, davar equals a pasuk, right? Nothing to do with directions. After all, because you do the directions before you or after you do the nanuim. So what's the, what do we mean? We mean, no. Three shakes for each pasuk, separate from the waving and directions. What's the Ibaya of the Rishalmi then? What's the Ibaya of the Rishalmi? The Ibaya of the Rishalmi is, what counts as three shakes? After all, you know, a shake's not really direction, but a shake really is a direction. How do you shake something? You have to move it in a direction. You don't have to stretch it out. Well, the Ramban thinks if you stretch it out, that could also be Yotzei the Nanuim. But you actually shake. By, so what does it mean, three shakes? Does three shakes mean, I'm doing slow motion, right, left, right, three shakes? Or no, three shakes is right, left, right, left, right, left. Not in waving and shaking, right? So does three shakes mean right, left, right, or right, left, right, left, right, left? That's the Ibaya of the Rishalmi. How do you do three shakes? Again, if I had a big lulav, it would be obvious. Three shakes, I go like one, two, three, or one, two, three. That's, what's three shakes? Okay, that's the three different ways of interpreting the Rishalmi. Again, there are other ways, we won't go into them now, because we are a little behind. But I'll just point out one interesting thing. This is all very technical. And we know how we pasken. We pasken like the Rush. You end up with 36 shakes per pasuk. If we're machmer the Ibaya of the Rishalmi. Right? How many? It's interesting. How many shakes per pasuk? According to the Iter, zero. Just movements. According to this way, three for each direction. Now, of course, we're not sure how many directions, right? So, if we're machmir, assume we're machmir bisfeko shel hayirushami. So, how many? You'd have six times the number of directions. How many directions? Well, that depends what molech umevi means, right? So, the Rush says clearly 36, but you could easily have said not 36. You could have said, could be 12. Or you could, meaning molech umevi, malo morid, right? According to the safer, I mean, the Iter doesn't hold this way, right? According to the other way. Could you have said 30, that maybe molech counts? Maybe you could have said 30. Maybe 30, unclear. Right, the Rambam might mean 12. Molech 3, maybe 3. Right, according to my way of viewing the Rambam. According to this, how many shakes? Six shakes per pasuk. Besides the directions, you do not six shakes, but six movements of a shake. Right? Not six separate shakes, but, you know, six movements. Okay. The big question is there any lumdus going on here? You know, it's a little hard to tell, right? After all, there's nanuim, there's, but you could ask a simple question. Is there one din or tzvei dinim going on here, right? Are nanuim and holacha v'hova'a one din or two dinim? That's a valid question, no? Are they one din or two dinim? So, let's just ask the lumdus question, right? In lumdus, one din or two dinim? According to Bala, it's a pashut one din. There's only one thing you do. According to the Rambam and the Rush, not clear. You're doing two things, but you're integrating them, right? So, unclear. According to the Ramban, simple pshat is two dinim. You're doing totally different things. Probably two dinim. And who says explicitly two dinim? The Ritva doesn't, but the Ramban implies they're two dinim. And when they quote Rashi, they certainly say it's two dinim. What are these two dinim? Notice the Ramban says, that's why I put the Ramban here. He says, He says, the Iker, one second, yes. Hitzrich, all the Molech Umevi Malamor Pam Achas Lekayim Mitzvahs Tnufa. Yeah, you do need a Nuim for the Lulav and also Mitzvahs Tnufa. Uchen Dum Dum, by the Ishdu Nienua Tchila, which is Iker Nienua for the Kiyim of Lulav. That's why he thinks the Nienua comes first. Chosom Molech Umevi, lots of Ruchos Rose, who told him, Raim, Zeo Dait Oshel, Rabbeinu Hanan Ozel. He says, let's just take these Tveidinim. Says the Ramban, the Tveidinim, number one is called Iker Nienua. And number two is called Mitzvahs Tnufa. There's Nianua and Tnufa, two separate halachos. One Nianua comes from Lulav. And two, Tnufa is learned from Kivsei Atzeres, right? And this is learned from Iker Lulav. And this is learned from Kivsei Atzeres. And if you ask what the purpose of them, the Ramban says, the purpose of this is lots of ruchos ros, etc., right? Maybe you could say, here is the makor, and here is the purpose. The purpose is lots of ruchos ros utlalim ra'im. And then you can easily say, why do we have two dinim? Ah, the second one is to prevent calamity. What's the first one? The first one, maybe you could say, is a din of Simcha v'Hallel. Here I'm adding that. That's a bracket. No, the Nanua is to praise Hashem. And the waving is, because notice he doesn't bring Rabbi Yochanan the Arba Ruchos Shalom. The Nanua is to praise Hashem. And the waving is, remember we had on the board yesterday, is to praise Hashem or a daven to break calamity. Maybe one is Nanua and one is Tenufa. That's one possibility. Yes, he understands Vachim Belulav is not that the Iker Kiyum of Lulav. The Iker Kiyum of Lulav is Nanuim, like we said in the Mishnah. And beside Nanuim, also do Tzufa.
No, I mean whether it's going back to the
Shbekim. Okay, correct. Correct. So he is. The other thing is, the Shibale Leket and others quoting Rashi also say Tzveidinim. Shibale HaLeket. The same Rashi also says there are two dinim. Why? Because that's why I put that on the sheet also. Said the Shibale HaLeket, he says, Lasos Nianua Acher Zulasi Moluch Maybe Malamoriv, Daiki Kedelana Neabo, right? And after all, you must have to rustle it, otherwise, why do you need it? And he says, the time when we shum simcha rakdu ke'elam hainu hanianuim. So, one shita is, he doesn't say exactly what it is, but one shita is, this is, midin. I don't know if it's din tnufa or din etila. I would say midin etila. Midin etila, you have to bring in all the directions. And this is mishum simcha. Rock to ke'elim. Rokade is like to shake, right? Rokade. Rokade doesn't mean to wave in all different directions. Again, pasuk shot of rakdu. Nowadays, you use rakdu for dancing also. Dancing a circle, we call rikudim. But really, rikud is like marakade, right? You just shake the sifter. What?
Trembling.
Yeah, it's a trembling. Trembling is the nianua. So, he says, this is the molech umevi, and this is the nianua. The nianua is mishum simcha. What's the first one? Here, he's not clear what the first one is, but maybe according to Rashi, you could say, now, again, it's a little tricky, I must admit, because Rashi seems to put these all together. This doesn't really match Rashi on the daf so much, I admit. Because Rashi says the Nanua is, the Latzar Tlalim is the Molech Umevi. Rashi sounds more like this, I admit. This doesn't sound like Rashi on the daf, but maybe you could say just the opposite. This is Mishum Simcha, you know, V'Halel. And then it's the same. And this is maybe either either Midin, maybe Hakrava, or Latzar V'chuli. So mine end up very similar to the Ramban. There's two different Qiyum. What's Mishutaf, the common denominator of the Ramban, and the way the Rishonim quote Rashi is, the common denominator is that there's two different Qiyum for two different reasons. Either one is the Iker and the other is for Tznufa, or one is the Iker and the other is for Simcha, right? So let's say this is the Iker and the Tila, and one is for Simcha. And maybe if you want to put them both together, you could say one is midin simcha and one is midin lots of ruchas ro'os u'tlalim ra'im. And then you have these two themes we saw last time, which are tefillah for the future and a praise for the past and shevach for the past, maybe those two things are not just two things, but are actually two different masim and two different kiyumim, one which is the shaking and one which is the waving in directions. Although, you know, I did put another slightly different possibility up there. Okay, we didn't get to everything I thought we would get to today, somehow, strangely enough. But we have one more Shir Maseches Sukkah, so we'll see how far we can get. I'll give some more Makoros, it's always good to learn a little. I think we'll be able to get to the second Mishnah, also Daf Lamed Ches, but Amir Tzoshem on Thursday, we will finish what we're going to do for Maseches Sukkah.